Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Our focus today is on young people and how they can make productive use of their time. It's activity-centered. We'll be talking about a marathon that could have an economic payoff as well as health benefits for students in just a couple of moments. But first, an effort to overcome summers of boredom and student learning loss. Far too many kids spend summers running out of things to do, forgetting some of what they learned in the previous school year, wasting time catching up in the fall, and doing little to stimulate learning skills. There is a digital age solution to the problems, appropriately called Blueprint for Summer, STL. And here to talk about it are Maxine Clark, founder of Build-A-Bear Workshop, James Schulz, Assistant Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Maxine and James, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be here.
It's great to be with you.
Maxine, this is pretty much your baby, this whole program, Blueprint for Summer. Tell me what it is and why it is.
Blueprint for Summer is actually a technology tool that has been created to help aggregate all of the information about summer programs that exist in St. Louis, Missouri. When I started on the project, I thought there was maybe 100 or 200. There's actually, in our database now, nearly 2,200 individual sessions of summer programs for children in St. Louis. And I knew they were here. I knew there were some. It's just been amazing to find out myself what was going on and make it available to every family in St. Louis.
Give me some sense of the range of the kinds of programs you're talking about.
Well, there's academic programs, sports programs, arts programs, music programs, dance, STEM, things that focus on STEM, things that focus on specifically in STEM, robotics. One of the most exciting things for me was to discover that we have one of the best science camps in the country right here in St. Louis. And it happens to be in Ferguson, Missouri, this Challenger Space Camp. And it's been in existence since 2003, and I had no idea.
What was it that brought this need to your attention?
I mentor and work with a lot of young children in our community through my engagement with Teach for America and KIPP schools, and I've met so many unbelievably smart children. And I've asked them, what's the difference for you? And they said, well, my mom worked, and every summer I had to do something. And my mom put me in English programs, public speaking, art camps, music camps, to find my passion. And I did. And that said to me, well, duh, that's possible. How do we go out and how do we bring this to every child? What's in the way? And basically, it was just really simple access to information.
And they'll have access to this information how? Through their telephones, their iPads, their computers?
Right. The app is not an app like that you download from an iPhone store. It's actually available on our website, blueprintforsummer.com. And you just open it up and you put in your zip code and you put in a little bit of information and it will bring you to the camp that you want. It starts with closest to your home to farthest away. So that's your decision. And we have maps and bus routes and all kinds of things that are loaded in there as well so parents can know what's going on.
I've been to the site. It's very easy to navigate, which is always helpful, needless to say. James Schulz, let me turn to you and get your first blush reaction to this whole idea.
That's great. I mean, I have four kids myself, and so as soon as I heard about the idea, I jumped online and started looking up ideas for summer because Maxine's right. Summer is incredibly important for students. I mean, we end school, and then you have months off where students could be sitting around watching television or doing pretty much nothing, or you could be engaging them in really enriching activities where they're learning stuff in ways that is fun and appealing to kids in ways that are very different from traditional school settings. And so that's the real beauty of what this does, is it puts all these things out there for parents to see and really find the activities that are going to be good for their kids.
Let's talk for a moment about what's going on in the summer and what's not going on. I suspect a lot of kids are maybe playing baseball or whatever, or probably more are watching television and playing video games. How important is the summer to the kids as far as the learning experience goes?
Well, academically, what we see is that summer learning loss is real, but it impacts students from disadvantaged families the most. So over the course of the summer, students from more advantaged families, more affluent families, oftentimes go on vacations. They go on culturally enriching field trips to museums and different places, and they do all kinds of things. More disadvantaged families oftentimes don't do those things. And so we see from the summer, this gap starts to widen more and more. And so a lot of the achievement gap that we see between advantaged and disadvantaged students or between races, a lot of that is established and grows through the summer. And it's because of the activities that people are involved in. And so the summers can make a huge difference in a child's life in terms of academics.
If I'm not mistaken, by the third or fourth grade, disadvantaged kids may be almost a year behind their fellow students.
Oh, absolutely. And that just continues to grow over time. By the time they get to high school, the average black high school student is reading on the level of about an eighth grade white student. And part of that is because of the activities that are able to go on in the summer, and because of the students from advantaged backgrounds and disadvantaged backgrounds having different resources. And so the great thing about this is it puts all the information out there for parents to see, and they could find activities that are going to work for them, and they could maybe work to close some of that summer learning gap that happens.
And Maxine Clark, this is exactly the kind of thing that you're aiming at,
exactly,
isn't it?
I think when James was talking about enrichment, that's an important word. Not we have about 200 of the 2,200 programs that are online that are academic, strictly academic programs. Most of them are enrichment. And so you can look up art and math, and it'll be about art and math, and so which I think is a wonderful thing, or science and music. I mean, there's all kinds of interesting programs, and they actually link them together. So they actually relate to a child's life, and they'll spark their imaginations, inspire creativity and critical thinking, as well as just make them more well-rounded young people.
I wonder if your app, this Blueprint for Summer, is going to be as easily accessible to the disadvantaged kids who may need it more than the others.
Well, first of all, mobile phones are pervasive in just about most homes, but certainly there's people we're going to miss. But we've actually worked a partnership with school districts, and so the number one way that people have found Blueprint for Summer is through their school. School districts have handed out our flyers, posted it on their websites, had parent-teacher events that we've been invited to show parents how to use it, and so we've been just overwhelmed with the support and how important it just proves again how important a school is in a community to those families and their children.
But in most cases, going to a camp is going to cost something, and that would get in the way, I would think.
That's true. There are a lot of camps that are pricey. There's no doubt about it. But there also are about 700 of the 2,200 that have scholarships available. Many of them are really free. A lot of the parks and recreation programs that exist throughout the communities of St. Louis are no charge at all. You do have to get there, but if you go online and look it up by your zip code, you'll find they're a mile away. They're easily in walking distance or a bus route for a parent to take a child. And many of them have early before and after care for a working parent. They have lunches that they provide. There really are hundreds of these camps. There's not an excuse, really, for any child not to be able to go to a camp if their parents know about it.
How far-ranging is the geography, if you will, of those camps that you're including?
We've gone as far as Jefferson County, St. Charles, wherever people have given us the information. We have Illinois, East Side camps on here, too. We hope to have more added all the time. There are still many being added every day because people are expanding their programs, and now parents are getting, to the point of frantic. It's time I really have to think about sending my kids to camp. They're easily broken out. You can, as early as 3 years old, there's camps for kids 3 to 5 years old, and there's camps for kids 15 to 18 as well, because people have said to me, my older children, there's no camps for them. We go online and we find them.
And we want to emphasize once again, this is a free opportunity, right, to learn all of this.
Right. The app is, the use of this, the tool is free, but the camps themselves may have a charge.
Sure. James, with regard to the disparity between advantaged and disadvantaged kids, why is there this disparity?
Well, part of it is that, people from more advantaged backgrounds have the resources, as you mentioned. I mean, they have the ability to go on vacations, and they find it rewarding to go to museums and those types of things. And so part of it is just the resources that the individuals have.
There's a greater amount of stimulation, in other words, year-long for the advantaged kids.
Right. And we see this in terms of reading, too, that students from more advantaged homes have parents who read to them more often. They speak more words to their children. There are all kinds of studies that look at these things. And that just continues in the summer. And the parents from more advantaged homes often find these, as we said, enriching activities through the summer that really inspire students. And for a variety of reasons, families from disadvantaged backgrounds often don't know of the opportunities that are out there. and don't have the time to search for them. But now, you know, they have a place where they can go, see the opportunities that are there, and start to really find some things that are going to fit within their budget, within their schedule.
I had an email this morning from Karen Kalish, who's been on this program many times and who runs the Home Works program, with teachers' visit to homes. And she was emphasizing the importance of reading, as you just had.
Mm-hmm.
Reading is really where it all begins, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, parents from a very early age, you know, I have an 8-month at home, and from a very early age, you should be reading to your child. It helps them in so many ways to develop communication skills, to develop reading skills, and as you mentioned, it helps get them on grade level by third grade. And if they're not on grade level by third grade, then it becomes very difficult to learn, because all the things that we learn connect back to our ability to read. And once you have the ability to read, you can teach yourself almost anything, especially if you have that, your imagination sparked, mm-hmm. and your curiosity is piqued, then you can read just about anything. And so everything that parents can do, the best thing that parents could do, I should say, is from a very early age, start reading with your children.
Maxine, what sort of help are you getting in putting all of this together? I know you have some corporate support, do you not?
My husband and I, you know, put in the starter money, and we just went talking about it to people and said, how can I help? How can I help? So we actually put together the fund to create the technology, because that was the expensive part, and also to make sure that we were reaching our target customer. So we've used partnerships with Metro Bus and partnerships with billboard companies and partnerships with radio stations to make sure that we get the word out, because everybody does in the community. We agree that we care about our children and we want children to be successful. And I think that's unequivocal. So it's been actually easy to get people to support this idea of using technology to spread the word.
It's really important to the corporate world, is it not? Because the future employees of these many companies in our area come from this area, and if they're not well-educated, that's bad.
Absolutely. One other thing that we found out in this process of reaching out to different groups is that there actually is an organizing group that puts camp fairs on at different corporations so that their employees have access to what's available for their children so that they don't miss work during the summertime. Because mm-hmm. if your kids are not engaged in something, somebody has to take care of them. So it's important to corporations also to provide this information service to their employees who want great activities for their children.
Right. That's Maxine Clark, founder of the Build-A-Bear Workshop here in St. Louis, and also the driving force behind a program called Blueprint for Summer, STL. She's with me in studio. We're talking about ways to engage young people during the summer months when a lot of them wind up having very little to do, or doing very little, I should say, and letting the rust build on those brains. Also with me is James Schulz, Assistant Professor of Educational Leadership and Policy Studies at the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Welcome back and continue our conversation. We'd love to have you be a part of it. Give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email to talk@stlpublicradio.org, or if you'd prefer to send a tweet, do so at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Maxine Clark and James Schulz. James, let me ask you, are summer vacations too long?
Well, I don't know if they're too long. I enjoy my summer vacations, you know, and I know teachers do as well, but I think that for some students, they might be. You know, for some students, and especially students in disadvantaged schools, having a longer school year, or maybe restructuring how we have our school year so we have maybe more breaks throughout the year that are shorter, would be a good idea. You know, I know Superintendent of St. Louis Public Schools Kelvin Adams recently spoke about wanting to extend his school year, but there are some state rules and regulations that don't allow him to do so. So I think in those types of situations, schools should have more ability to extend their school year, especially if they're trying to serve students from disadvantaged families.
And if we look at some of the countries overseas that are outstripping us in the educational areas, particularly in the STEM areas as well, they have very long school years.
Right. So some countries go to school much longer than us. But really, it's a question of if we extend the school year, it's going to cost more money. How are we going to pay for it? There are lots of considerations. You know, if you're expecting teachers to work longer, you're going to have to pay them more, and we're going to have to raise more money to do that. And so there are lots of discussions about how to do that. And I think that's something we should give thought to, but we should also be considering other ways of maybe, like I said, restructuring to a year-round type of school schedule, or giving individual schools and school districts better ability to change their own school year where they're not restricted by state laws. I think that's really a good first step, to give them the authority to do those things, and maybe even have some funds for school districts serving students from disadvantaged populations to do these types of things, expand their school year, or even offer greater summer programs.
Maxine, what do you think?
I agree 100%. I think I remember as a child, I went to summer school every summer, not because I was in a remedial program, but because I could. Mm-hmm. And that was what my mother sent us to school, and I loved it. And it was more fun than regular school, but it was still academically oriented. And I think I fared pretty well. So I know it helped me a lot. I learned a lot of things I wouldn't have been able to take during the regular school year.
I'm thinking of that old commercial, pay me now or pay me later. If we, you know, it might cost a little bit more to establish the kind of school year that you're talking about, James, but by the same token, if we don't have a well-educated group coming along, that's going to cost us ultimately.
Right. I think the biggest challenge is that it's an investment up front. Yeah. Ultimately, you would save the money on the back end.
Exactly.
But it'll be a while to realize that, and that's the hardest part for people who are in charge of that budget to let go of it.
Right. You've said it better than I did. Thank you for that. Let's take some calls. We have some folks who want to get into this discussion. We'll start with Dr. De Silva calling from St. Louis. Dr. De Silva, go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hi. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm a faculty at HSSU, that is High Stove, and I've been in education for a while. I've been to WashU. I lectured that. I did research. But my point to you is, you know, going on this, I mean, trips is fine and everything, but at Harris Stowe, we have a special situation here. Because these are students from North County. And I find I'm teaching biology, biochemistry. It is very tough for them to get to read the important textbooks. I mean, they come to the class, I lecture, and I'm all the time telling them, did you read your chapter last night before you came? No, just blank phrases. So I'm really worried. I mean, how to get, I mean, you know, this is, the high school is connected. Everything is connected.
I think, Dr. Silva, we have your point. Let's get a response to it. But it takes us back to reading again.
Right.
And I guess what he's saying, that some of the students, and I think he pointed out to Harris Stowe, come there and they don't read very well.
Right. I think one of the programs that's very exciting in St. Louis is all the summer programs that exist at our public libraries. Mm-hmm. And we're going to work really hard. We're getting that information onto the blueprint. They're late to finalize all those programs, but they're free. Most of them are totally free, and they're in the neighborhood. And I think that's a really exciting opportunity to boost literacy for younger children. The History Museum and the libraries and many of our social and cultural facilities have these reading programs that are outstanding, but maybe people don't know about them yet.
I think our libraries are probably one of the most underutilized assets that we have in ours and any community, don't you think?
Right.
Absolutely. Well, and I was going to say that, you know, we know that there are some problems and there are gaps between advantaged and disadvantaged groups, that there are lots of problems that we need to solve. And we're not going to be able to solve that overnight. But things like this, the blueprint, where we're able to get people access to summer programs and enriching summer programs that might inspire them to learn more, I think are a very good step along the way. Getting people plugged into the libraries and reading programs, all of these things are things that we need to do now to start building strong readers, especially early age, and then carrying on through high school, because this is a problem that we have to address, and things like this, addressing summer learning loss, are definitely part of the solution that we need to be talking about.
Maxine, I'm particularly interested in the STEM disciplines, and the fact that you have you mentioned Ferguson is one of the best camps or schools for that during the summer.
Right.
This is a very important area for us.
Yes, it is an incredible opportunity in St. Louis, and there are over 400 STEM, called STEM programs in the 2,200 programs, and I believe there'll be more being added, but the Challenger Learning Center is a premier program. The Science Center has great programs, very reasonable. Many of the, even at the Boys and Girls Club, I visited last summer up here on Grand Avenue, and I was astounded at the programs that they're offering. And kids have choices. They can move within the building and take different programs at the Boys and Girls Clubs around St. Louis. The same is true at the YMCAs. There are multiple programs that are offered there up to the child's interest and challenges. And I think that there's a great way to reawaken that curiosity in children.
Yeah. Is there a most unusual camp that you found that maybe surprised you in putting all of this together?
Well, there are a couple of really interesting ones. There's one called the Little Medical School that exists in several locations around St. Louis. It's the same program for little children to teach them health and wellness and in their world and see how they play a part in their own self-advocacy for health. I think that one's really interesting. I love that one. There's also a camp at the Rankin called Summer Racers where children learn to build race cars. What a fun thing. Who wouldn't want to have an experience like that? And then there's a real proliferation right now. Cooking is really interesting for families and children. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of really wonderful cooking camps. And at Fontbonn, I believe it's at Fontbonn, there's a Camp Fresh, which is about healthy eating. And so there's all kinds of programs. If you have a curiosity. There's a camp program in St. Louis, I can guarantee it, that you can find. Might be further away than you want, but it's here.
But you can match the kids' interest or the parents' interest just about in any particular area.
I think in 2,200 programs, you can find just about
anything. You're going to find something. Let's go back to the phones. We'll bring in Carolyn calling from St. Louis. Is it Carolyn?
Yeah, it's Carolyn.
Carolyn, go ahead.
I am a school social worker, and I've done the gamut. I'm currently in early childhood, but I've done early childhood on into high school. And while I think this is awesome, and I know social workers will be using it, my question is, it's an issue of funds. I have many families that are interested in programs, but the barrier is paying for those programs, and what might seem reasonable to us may not necessarily be reasonable to them. I'm always trying to figure out ways to assist them in getting scholarships and finding organizations that will help pay for things. So how do you guys, what are your thoughts on addressing that barrier? Because social workers are working every day to get these kids access to those sorts of programs that we know will enrich them.
There are on the Blueprint for Summer, you can sort for those where there are scholarships available. And there are many, hundreds of them, where scholarships are available. Again, people don't know and they don't know how to ask, but we've made it easy to sort for that. And also you can sort by price. So if you only can afford $20 a week, you can sort for $20 a week. Those are choices that you have with this app. I believe that this is a learning process for our community, and next year we'll have even more programs that are going to be more financially equitable for everyone to participate. But the parks and recreation programs in the city and North County are very many are free, but some are just incredibly low cost. I think the other barrier is transportation, getting to that camp. And I think that many of them do have transportation, but we've provided – it sorts for you first closest to your zip code. So you can see that there are many within a half a mile of your home and you didn't even know it. We know people across from Challenger didn't even know what was in that building. And they lived across the street.
How did you put all the – I'm sorry, Carlin, are you still there?
Yeah.
Go ahead if you have a follow-up.
Well, no, and I was going to say, as a parent and a school social worker, I'm excited about the app. It's just really going to be, like we said, the funds piece and the logistics, because there are many parents who want their kids to access these programs, but there are those barriers. So I'm excited to see that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carlin, for calling. How did you put all this together? I mean, 2,200 camps, that involved a little work.
It did, but actually once we got this out in the public, when we launched in early February, we had about 100.
Really?
So once people found out about it, they wanted us to publicize it. We didn't put any barriers in the way. We didn't charge the camps for listing, and we don't charge the parents for using it. So that makes it, you know, takes it down a barrier. And we wanted all of this specific information so that it would make it really possible for parents to sort by not just what YMCA camps in general have, but the specific programs at the YMCA near their home and in their budget. Those were important to us.
It's only early April, but have you had a chance to assess in any way what sort of response you're getting to it?
Yes.
And how people are using it?
Yes, we are getting a great response. About 45% are using it on a desktop, and 42 or 3% are using it on their phone. So that works. And then the others are using it on other different devices. We are getting people are using it for a long period of time. They're on there and they're coming back. So they're resourcing it and then they're coming back. And I think the next few weeks are going to be really critical to parents scheduling a lot of new programs.
This is the time. One more phone call before we have to wrap this up. Phil and Baldwin, go ahead.
Yeah. There's two solutions to summer learning loss. And one of them was tried in St. Charles County, where they had only 6 week summers. They went to school for 6 weeks, and they were off for two and six. I don't know why they changed that. I think it was under pressure from the teachers. The other solution is Harlem Children's Zone, and I challenge these two speakers and anybody else that's listening that's trying to correct the problem to sign up for Harlem Children's Zone's training, and if they go through that training and they think it don't work, they can come back to this radio station and tell me, Phil from Baldwin, that it doesn't work.
All right. But Phil, thank you. Our time's getting away. Let me get a response from James Schultz first to that. Jeffrey Canada's operation is pretty highly regarded.
Right. I don't disagree. I think both the things he mentioned are great. You know, it's one of the things I mentioned, is thinking about restructuring the school year so we go have a different type of schedule. That's a great idea. What Jeffrey Canada is doing is great. Love to see something like that here. But things like this are excellent as well. It's a way that we can put resources into people's hands. And I do want to just say that I received a text from my wife saying she's listening and she wants to get online and find programs for our kids. And I think we just really need to get the message out to people that this resource is here and there are opportunities for their kids.
Maxine, do you want to put a bottom line to all of this?
I think we're going to make a huge difference this summer, and next summer we'll make more of a difference, and the summer after that. This is a learning process, and parents have to understand that this is available. It didn't just come in, and it's not going away. We're going to be here pumping away at children having a phenomenal summer experience to build and improve their lives and their educational outcomes.
We'll put a link to your website on our website at stlpublicradio.org so folks can access it that way if they choose to. Maxine Clark and James Schultz, thank you so much for being with us. Continued good luck with this project. It sounds great. Coming up, the Go St. Louis Marathon Weekend. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.